The Audio Guide to the Galaxy is recorded at SciTech on Whadjuk Noongar land. Good evening, everybody. My name is Leon.
And I'm Beth.
And this is the Audio Guide to the Galaxy, your monthly stargazing companion for the night sky in Bulu on Whadjuk Noongar land.
So, Leon, what's up this month?
What's up this month? Great question, Beth. Well, firstly, welcome back to everybody. It's the first podcast of 2025.
Ah.
And what a banger of a month we are off to.
Oh, it's very exciting.
It's all about planets.
Planets. I think that you referred to it as a parade of planets before we started recording.
That's right.
I enjoy that greatly.
Yes, January presents a parade of planets in the night sky for all of us to go look at. And so, are you ready, Beth?
I'm ready. Are we going to start facing west as the sun goes down?
That's what we always do. The awesome. Same thing we do every month, Beth. So yes, we're outside. The sun has just set and we are facing to the west, which is, of course, the direction that the sun sets.
Yep.
And you'll be able to see the same planet we've been looking at for the past 5-6 months now.
It's Venus.
Venus. And rather than getting sick and tired of it, I like to think of it as a nice anchor to start my stargazing.
Yeah, no, it is actually really nice. And it's also often, you can sometimes see Venus before the sun has set. So it's a good way of sort of working out where you are in the night sky.
Yes, absolutely.
But Venus isn't the only planet.
No, that's right. We're going to start at the very bright Venus, and without even turning our bodies or anything like that, just to the sort of to the top right of Venus, you'll find Saturn.
Hey.
And it's not as bright, and it's, to be honest, it's not the best time of year to see Saturn, but it is there.
And it's near Venus.
And yeah, it's kind of yellowish and a bit fainter, a bit smaller in the sky, but it's definitely there. There's no sort of bright stars near it that are going to sort of draw your attention. So if you're looking at a yellowish thing next to the really bright white Venus, then that is almost certainly Saturn.
Amazing. So now we are going to do our normal turning, but normally we turn south.
Yeah, we turn to our left to face the south after starting off facing west.
But this month we're turning north.
We turn right. So we're gonna take a spin to the right. It's not a jump to the left and a step to the right. It's just we're gonna turn to the right and face north.
Okay. So Venus and Saturn will have started to form a bit of a line between them. So you can kind of sort of roughly follow the trajectory of that line around and maybe spot some more planets?
You can. Now, we're going to take, it is a bit of a jump because we're going to go quite far across the sky, but yes, following that line of Venus and Saturn, you go all the way up until you're sort of pointing towards the north and, mm-hmm. I mean, point to the bright thing.
Yeah.
Because the next planet on our tour of the sky is the biggest planet in the solar system.
Jupiter.
It's Jupiter. And it's bright. It's not quite as bright as Venus, but it is very, very bright. And you'll be able to see it's there in the north or northeastern sky, depending on what time of night you're looking at it.
If you're a little bit lost, it's quite near Orion about 9:30 at night. So, yeah, if you find Orion and then sort of look a little bit down and to the left, then you'll be able to spot Jupiter.
You'll be able to see Jupiter.
No problem.
Yep. And yes, there's a bright red star near Jupiter that helps you there. And Orion's belt is kind of pointing at Jupiter at the moment. So yes, that's how you spot Jupiter. And then you keep going. So we've drawn this imaginary line from Venus to Saturn to Jupiter. We keep drawing until we get almost to the other side of the sky. And we will cross paths with a red object. And
Mars?
That is the red planet.
There aren't any other red ones, are there? No. Mars, beautiful Mars.
Mars is the red planet. And so those four stars make a beautiful curve across the sky.
Four stars?
Those four bright objects. Those four planets make a beautiful curve across the sky. But
happens to everyone, see?
Yes, even the best of us. There's two more that we can technically see, but you can't see, but they are there.
Might you need a little bit of optical assistance?
You might. Yeah. Yes, you will. So as we drew our line from Saturn to Jupiter, so that little part of the sky in the northwest, we're still facing north. It's up to our left. There are the two other gas planets in our solar system.
So as far as I'm aware, if we're coming across from Saturn, mm-hmm. we'll run into Neptune first.
Yes.
And then Uranus.
That is correct.
So if you're doing a little bit of naked eye stargazing, and we've started with Venus. You'll see Venus, then Saturn, then skip a bit, and then Jupiter, and then Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out looking with your telescope and you find Venus first, then Saturn, then you'll find Neptune, mm-hmm. then Uranus, then Jupiter, then Mars.
That's correct.
A parade of planets.
A parade of planets. Now, yes, you will need a little bit of help to get you, you know, some, I mean, a lot of telescopes these days, you just punch in, you know, Uranus and it'll automatically swivel and do that for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Or you may need your app, perhaps Stellarium on your phone to help you find it. Uranus is definitely easier to see because it's closer, but you still definitely need a telescope. There are some parts of the world where there's just no light pollution and some people who have very, very, you know, just exceptionally good eyesight can see Uranus without a telescope, but the vast majority of people will need a telescope to see it. But then if you really know what you're doing, you can also have a crack at trying to find Neptune, but that's a lot harder.
All right. Good to know.
And there's no more planets, is there, Beth?
We missed one.
Yeah, we did miss one.
Where's Mercury?
So Mercury is there, but at this time of night, you can't see it.
Oh.
So if you want to see Mercury, you just do, you know, make like a kid on Christmas Day and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No.
You know, get up before sunrise. So yeah, for the first half of January, Mercury is going to be up in the eastern sky for about an hour before sunrise.
Okay.
So not long, and it's in the east, so the sun is rising in the east, so you just look to where the sky is getting brighter.
Yep.
And, yeah, before the sun rises, you will see little Mercury poking up above the horizon there.
With a telescope, or can you just see that with your eyes?
Just with your eyes, yeah.
Don't if need your telescope. Eyes are good.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need a telescope.
If you've got terrible
Mercury.
Eyes, just, what are you doing? Get some glasses.
But, yeah, it's always... Well, it's always difficult to observe Mercury, and January 2025 is not even the best time to do it. But if you wanted to, it is there.
I guess it's worth mentioning that you could see all eight planets within, like, 12 hours.
That's right, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, all night, and if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, do a whole evening of stargazing, and you can see all the planets there.
Oh, that's amazing. But that's not all the planet news.
No, that's right. In fact, if we go back to our night sky, the red planet Mars that we're looking at, this is actually the best time of year for the next, you know, 18 months.
Oh, wow.
To see Mars.
Okay, so Mercury, terrible. Mars, pretty
best,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's at what we call opposition. Now, if you remember...
Yeah, I was going to say, if I recall last year sometime, maybe last month, time is an illusion.
Yeah, it was last month.
So opposition is where you can stick your arms out either side of you and point at the sun with one hand and point exactly opposite with the other hand, and the planet that is exactly opposite is at opposition.
That's right.
So it was Jupiter last month at its opposition, and now Mars is at opposition.
Now it's Mars's turn.
Hey.
So yes, on the 16th of January is when Mars will be at opposition.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can point at the sun as it sets and Mars will rise at the time of the sunset.
Oh.
And what that means is two things. One is that we're essentially Earth and Mars are on the same side of the sun.
Okay.
When, you know, viewed from the outside.
Yep.
So we're as close, the two planets are as close together as they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, we're seeing Mars face on. The sun's coming over our shoulders, bouncing off Mars's face and then back into our eyes.
So like you would have a full moon, this is a full Mars.
It's a full Mars. That's a perfect way of describing it. Yes. So it's going to look bigger and brighter in our sky than it has for the last 18 months and than it will for the next 18 months. Now, when I say... Now's the best time of year. Your window is a few weeks.
Okay.
So if you're not out on the 16th of January, don't worry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Or if it's cloudy.
Yeah, if it's cloudy, okay. It's okay. You know, you can go, you know, end of January, middle of February.
Okay.
It's going to be out for another few months, but this, you know, that sort of window around there is the best time.
Amazing. Then the last piece of planet news in the sky tonight is actually our planet.
Yes. Something very special happened on the 4th of January, didn't it, Beth?
Yes. Someone's birthday. No, it wasn't. Now, this word is one of those space words that I always pronounce slightly wrong and slightly different each time. Perihelion.
Perihelion. Well done.
Oh, nailed it. Oh, my goodness. So perihelion is when Earth is closest to the sun.
Yes.
Yes.
And that happened on the 4th of January. So we are recording this after perihelion, but it's nice to make a little note of it. And so the thing to keep in mind is Earth's orbit around the sun is not perfectly circular.
No, it's a little bit squished.
Yeah, it's a bit squished. And sometimes we're closer, sometimes we're further away. So there exists a point on that orbit where we are at the closest. And that was on the 4th of January.
Oh,
which is nice. Now, to be fair, the amount of distance that we go from furthest to closest or closest to furthest from the sun is not much. You know, it's only a few percent.
I was going to say, is it not much in space terms, though, and it's actually like thousands of kilometres?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's not much in space terms, and it's like 4 million kilometres.
Oh, okay. More than thousands of kilometres.
But the average distance is 150 million kilometres. So 4 million is like, what, 3%?
Drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But that's just nice to know. So, and of course, we take 1 year to go around the sun. So half a year from now is when we'll be furthest from the sun, which will be early June.
Which is also called something helion.
It's called aphelion.
Aphelion.
And it's tempting to put the A-P-H and pronounce it aphelion.
Yes.
Aphelion.
Aphelion.
Why is that, Beth? Why do we pronounce the helium by itself?
It's all Greek.
It's all Greek to you.
It's all Greek to me. Because helios means sun.
Yes. And ap means back or far.
Yeah.
So, yes, there we go. So that's your night sky.
Okay, so only planets, all of the stars have gone out, right? There's no stars.
No stars.
No stars at all. Just planets.
just planets. There are two stars that I want to draw your attention to.
Only two?
Yeah.
The rest of the stars
the
are there
too. The rest of the stars are still there. But these two stars that I want to draw your attention to, they make up our constellation of the month.
Ooh, constellation of the month.
Yes.
I will continue to sing my own theme song to every single thing and it will be different every time.
Now, the stars we are looking for this month are actually right next to Mars. So it's funny, normally when we give instructions on how to find things, we say, find this pattern of stars, and then just next to it you'll find a planet or something like that. We're doing it the other way around this time.
Okay.
We're finding the red planet Mars. It's in the eastern sky during evenings, during January, and next to Mars, the red planet, you will find a red-ish star. And next to that red-ish star, you will find a sort of blue-whitish star, not quite as bright. And those are the two stars we're looking at, because they make those two stars, the red one is called Pollux, and the blue-white one is called Castor.
Ah, Castor
and
Pollux.
Recognise those.
The twins.
The twins.
Although they look, as stars, very different.
Yes, that's right.
So these not-at-all twins are, of course, make up part of the constellation of Gemini.
Gemini.
The twins.
Which, yes, mythologically are twins.
Yeah.
Astronomically, they look quite different. So, yes, Pollux is a red giant star. It's in fact, it's the closest red giant star to the sun. So it's a star that used to look like the sun, but as it's sort of getting old, it's starting to swell up and turn red. That's what stars do when they get old. They swell up and turn red, like tomatoes. And Pollux and Castor, that small blue whitish star, looks like one star.
Oh no!
It's actually
two.
It's keep going.
Four?
More.
What? Six?
Yes.
No.
Castor is actually what looks like one star. It's actually six stars.
That's a lot of stars. Are they all like, is it just that they're all very, very far away from us, so they look like they're pretty close together in our night sky?
No, they actually are all close together. They're all bound together. It's actually three pairs of stars. So what I want you to do is picture this. In your left hand, I want you to imagine two stars going around each other.
Okay.
So like two, you know, dogs chasing each other's tails.
Yeah.
And then in your right hand, two more stars chasing each other around.
Yep.
Now, those two pairs of stars, like move your hands around in circles around each other.
Okay.
So those pairs of stars are orbiting each other.
All right.
Now what you need to do is use your other hand.
Oh, my third hand,
your
yes.
third hand. Get somebody else's hand to move around your circling hands. And in that other person's hand, they've got two stars moving around each other.
Wow.
So you've got two stars orbiting two other stars, and that group of four stars is being itself orbited by two more stars, which are orbiting each other.
Yeah.
The look on your face says that makes perfect sense.
I'm just a bit mind blown.
Yes.
That's an impressive number of stars what I imagine is a relatively small space of space.
Yeah, astronomically speaking. Yeah. So, yeah, now to be fair, a six-star system is quite unusual. Most stars come in pairs or groups of three maybe, but six is quite unusual. But, yeah, there we go.
But there you go. And you can see a group of six stars that looks like one star.
That look like one.
In the night sky tonight.
Yes, and that's all in the constellation of Gemini, which we touched on with the twins. What's the sort of origin of this twins story, Beth?
So Castor and Pollux were twins in, as many things in our night sky are, Greek mythology, and they were actually involved in one of the very famous events in Greek sort of mythofact, which is the Siege of Troy.
Yes.
Although you do have a lot of Greek heroes involved in the Siege of Troy.
I think, just every second.
Yeah, nearly most of them find some way of being involved, even if someone else has just edited a myth so that they can include their favourite several hundred years later. That's definitely what happened,
I reckon. Because they were, if I remember correctly, they were also on the Argo boat that to Jason and the Argonauts.
Look, sometimes in ancient Greek mythology, people live for hundreds of years.
Yes, they do.
And show up at every important historical or semi-historical event that occurs during the civilization.
Yes.
So mythical twins, not to be confused with Romulus and Remus, who are also twins, but they're different twins.
Ah, gotcha. From what I remember, this going back a while, but if I remember correctly, Castor, I believe, was mortal, whereas Pollux was the son of a god?
Pollux is the son of, and in my notes I wrote specifically, Pollux is the son of Swan Zeus.
Oh, yes, that's right, because he...
He turned into a swan.
Yeah, he wasn't born. He hatched from an egg, didn't he?
Yes.
For a swan egg, specifically.
Yes.
Because, of course.
Yes. Castor are... twin half-brothers. Their mother is Leda, who was a princess who became a Spartan queen. Mm-hmm. And then Castor is the son of the king of Sparta. Pollux is the divine son of Zeus.
Right.
And as a swan.
Would I be correct in guessing that that swan appears in the sky as the constellation of Cygnus?
There is a swan that appears in the sky. That's one of those situations where... any myth that has a swan in it is associated with Cygnus.
Yeah, that wasn't a very clever question, was it?
No, it's a very good question. But the answer is yes, it is that swan. But that swan is also any other swan in mythology.
There we go. All right. So it's a parade of planets. We've got Gemini. It's a wonderful time to go outside and look at the sky.
Thank you so much, Leon.
That's all we've got time for this episode of The Audio Guide to the Galaxy. Thanks for being here, Beth.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next month when we talk about the night sky in the month of February. If you'd like to know more about what we've been talking about today, you can find more by going to the SciTech website, and there you'll find a link for a page called The Sky Tonight, which is a monthly blog written by us here at SciTech about all the wonderful things you can see in the night sky.